उवाच उद्धवस्य अथ
दे यादव
तत्
बौद्ध ब्राह्मण
अनुज्ञाता
धूपमित
भुक्त्वा
पातेकी
पीत्वा
ड्रिंकिंग
च वारुणीम
लेकर
धया
वैदर
विभ्रंशिता जज्ञानाः
being bereft of knowledge
दुरुक्तैः
with harsh words
मारुणीम
the core of the heart
तस्पृशुः
touched Translation Pattvata is Divine Grace, S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ke Thereafter, all of them, the descendants of Rishni and Bhoja, being permitted by the Brahmanas, partook of the remnants of prasad and also drank liquor made of rice. By drinking, they all became delirious and bereft of knowledge. They touched the cores of each other's hearts. With harsh words. Purport. In ceremonies, when Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are sumptuously fed, the host partakes of the remnants of foodstuff after the guest has given permission. So the descendants of Rishni and Bhoja formally took permission from the Brahmanas and ate the prepared foodstuff. Kshatriyas are permitted to drink at certain occasions. So they all drank a kind of light liquor made of rice. By such drinking they became delirious and bereft of sense. So much so that they forgot their relationship with one another and used harsh words which touched the cores of each other's hearts. Drinking is so harmful that even such a highly cultured family becomes affected by intoxication and can forget themselves in a drunken state. The descendants of Vishnu and Bhoja were not expected to forget themselves in this way, but by the will of the Supreme it happened, and thus they became harsh towards one another.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं तदापि स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगणरघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनसहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते भक्त कांचन गौरांगी सुराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So we are beginning a new chapter today, fourth chapter of the third canto, Vidura approaches Maitreya. So here is an explanation about the Maushala Leela, which appears in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter, the 30th chapter, where Krishna departs from this world back to Godhead. So as it is explained here, the Yadus, they partook of the remnants of the prasad and also drank liquor made of rice. I was hearing a lecture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, people who are lower than Shudras, they make homemade liquor. How? He says they take the old rice and they dip it in water and keep it sometimes for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks also. And then Prabhupada says when it becomes more and more fermented, it becomes almost like brandy. It becomes a type of liquor which they drink. It's a cheap liquor prepared at home. And that is of course drunk by low class Shudras or lesser than that. So the Yadus certainly were Kshatriyas. How did they indulge in such an activity? That is explained there as Viprashapa Vimodhana. So this pastime in the Krishna Leela can be very bewildering to those who haven't developed a complete faith in Krishna. Depending on one's stability and faith in Krishna consciousness, to that degree different people hear pastimes like this and they interpret it in their mind in their own way, and oftentimes they have suspicion and doubts by hearing these pastimes. So what the pastime is, I'll tell you very briefly in 5 minutes, then we can discuss more about it. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to wind up his pastimes in the world and go back to his abode, and many of these Yadus of Vrishni and Bhoja dynasty, they were all demigods from the heavenly planets, and they had descended in this world to appear as Yadus. Of course, some of them were directly associates of Krishna from the spiritual world also. So at that time the Yadus were so powerful, we can say they were practically indefeatable. It is said that when the demigods saw Lord Krishna has appeared in this world along with Yadus, like the moon surrounding the stars, so they wanted to offer some great gift to Krishna. So they brought the Sudama assembly from the heavenly planets down to the earth, and they placed it in Dwarka. And that's the parliament of Krishna. It is said that if anybody enters into that parliament building, it is not like our parliament building in Delhi. This is a very special building which was gifted by the demigods to the Yadus, Yadava dynasty. If one enters that assembly, Sudharma, one will become free from old age, disease, thirst, hunger, sorrow and all these things. And one will be cheerful as long as you are inside that place. Of course, you have to come out for other activities. But this was a gift of the demigods to the Yadava dynasty. Lord Krishna had appeared in Yadava dynasty. So Yadavas were unparalleled, and they were like number one dynasty in the whole world, indefeatable people. And they could defeat anybody. Even Jarasandha, for example, you know, Jarasandha apparently defeated the Yadus and drove them to Dwaraka, that to a fort in the ocean, isn't it? But he couldn't preserve his position for all time. Subsequently, you find Krishna, Balaram and all the Yadus again defeated Jarasandha, in fact killed him. 17, 18 times he attacked Krishna's capital, and apparently he defeated, but then he was defeated back, and not just defeated, he was killed also, and everything was taken back by the Yadus. So you can see the power of Yadus There was nobody equal to them at that time. So when Krishna was winding up his dynasty, winding up his pastimes, he thought that the Yadavas should not be left behind in this world. And they should not be killed by anyone else, any other mortals, and they should not remain in this world after I finish my pastime. You see, when Lord comes in this world, he comes with all his associates, and sometimes he comes with his associates, sometimes he orders the demigods to send some associates also. Just like in Ram Leela, you find the demigods were requested to beget different children, isn't it? Like Indra. Indra produced whom? Vali, isn't it? Like the different demigods produced different associates for Ram. So, all the associates come. It is almost like a circus team. The circus team along with, the elephants and horses and camels and all kinds of equipments and setup and everything goes in a very big truck or several trucks. It goes to a particular city like Pune, and they take a playground or something and they put it up. And then they spread it out and it remains for 20-25 days, and then once the whole thing is over, they wind up and go to another city. Similarly, Krishna also, or Krishna, Ram, or any incarnation, they come not alone, but with their associates. So, just like we hear about Krishna bringing the Govardhan with him, Yamuna with him, and Vrindavan associates, similarly Krishna brought these Yadus also. Some of them are eternal and others are from demigods, associates. And Krishna felt that when I return back, I don't want to leave them behind here. I want to take them all back. But how to take them back? Now for me to wind up and go back is very easy. But how can they be taken back? How can their activities in this world be stopped? Because if one has to stop one's activity in the material world, then the body has to be finished. The body has to be killed. Only then the body can be taken, the person can be taken back. And all of them in one stroke. So he devised this plot, devised this plan, that he will create a, that is why it is said, there is a word used here, Prabhupada says here, the descendants of Vishnu and Bhoja were not expected to forget themselves in this way, but by the will of the Supreme, it happened. And thus they became harsh towards one another. This is very, very important. Prabhupada says, many, many lessons can be learned from this. That the Yadus, how did they become harsh and angry towards one another by drinking this homemade liquor trying to beat one another and kill one another? That is explained. Once upon a time, a group of Yadus, boys, headed by Samba, they all went to some rishis standing in a mandap. And they had kept some kind of some iron rod or something like that. They had kept in that inside his angavastra, and they made him dress him like a woman. And they took him to the sages and asked, "What will this woman get, a girl or a boy? What will he get?" They were joking with the sages. One sage gave a curse, spelled out. He said, "You will neither get a boy or a girl, you will get an iron rod, which will be the cause of your destruction, of the whole Yadu dynasty." Like that he spelled out a curse. And then they all became very frightened. They went to Ugrasen and went and complained. They said the Brahmanas are cursed like this. You got a Brahma shop or a Vipra shop, which is very dangerous. People would fear the Vipra shop or Brahma shop because it is said it never misses its target if a shop comes. Just like the sun rises in the east, it never fails. Similarly, the Brahma shop never fails. So, Ugrasena also became very frightened. And as it was predicted, the iron rod, that boy gave birth to the iron rod. And that iron rod, as soon as it appeared from his body, immediately Ugrasena said, "You take it, cut it into pieces and powder it completely and throw it away. Mix it with the sand so that it cannot do any harm to the Yadu dynasty." So they powdered it completely, ground it to very fine powder, and then they mixed it up near the seashore with the sand. And then they came back and then they thought, now they have no more danger. But then from there, for what they had ground and powdered and mixed with the sand, that grew into many, many plant type of things. Like iron sticks grew up from that, multiple, hundreds and thousands of them. At that time, that's when this happened. Because of the Viprashap, they became bewildered in their intelligence, and they drank this putrefied liquid. It's a purpose is like a brandy or some kind of liquor kind of thing, made of rice, rice, fermented rice for a long time. They drank, they became bewildered, and then they all went to the seashore and they picked up those sticks and started hitting one another and speaking harsh words, and they killed one another. And in fact, subsequently after Krishna, Krishna's disappearance comes subsequently. And one of the steel or iron, whatever, iron sticks, from this only was used by the hunter Jara for aiming at Krishna's lotus feet, considering that to be some deer. So Krishna said, "You are all Yadus, I am also Yadu. I also belong to Yadu." Then so Krishna also accepted that arrow. So subsequently Balaram saw everyone has left their bodies, and he released a white snake from his mouth, the Ananta Shesha, and he boarded on the snake and he went back to the spiritual world also. And that is the end of the Moksha Leela. Hear that. So Prabhupada has given some lessons from this pastime in one of his lectures. He says, this Viprashapa Vimudhanam, that word he took it and elaborately explained. He said how one should be very careful not to get sharp, and not to get a curse from great souls. One should not enrage great souls. By enraging great souls, we will be doomed in our lives. So, these boys were playful and frivolous. Frivolous play, that tendency is very dangerous, especially while dealing with great souls. Like you see, Indra at one time was a bit proud. He was sitting on the back of the Airavata elephant. When Duryodhana came and gave him a garland, he accepted it, but then he gave it to the foolish, dumb animal, the elephant. But the elephant took that garland and put it on the ground and stamped on it. And the result was, Duryodhana became upset because of mistreating the Mahagarland. So like one temple, in one of the temples when I had gone, I saw some devotees are playing with Mahagarlands. Like devotees are sitting in a class in the morning, and then somebody would come from behind and take a garland and put it on somebody's neck, and he would run away. And that fellow will take the garland and throw it on this fellow, Big, big garland, Thick garland. Sometimes after a festival, you have a lot of garlands, So one senior devotee had come, he was telling them, "Hey, don't play with Mahagarlands, it's very dangerous. You should know the value of Mahagarland, which has adorned the neck of the Lord, Supreme Lord. It should be worn with great respect. It should be handled with great respect also. With respectful and reverential mood, one should accept it." So, but if you are playful, throwing here and there, then it is offensive. So, in this way sometimes, so Indra foolishly gave that garland to a frivolous animal. Because the elephant is called a frivolous animal, because if you go to Kerala, you find these big, big elephants, they always have this trunk, is a very frivolous trunk they have. They put the trunk inside a shop and take out a dozen bananas. Sometimes they take out some coconut and they break it, they stamp on it. Sometimes a banana plant and trees are placed like for decoration, and they wind up their trunk and they pull it and beat it on the ground and scatter it everywhere. So Prabhupada says the elephant has a very frivolous nature. Similarly, these boys were also frivolous and playful. The result of frivolous nature is that it leads to prajalpa. Prajalpa. So the result of prajalpa is that along with our prajalpa of mundane things, we criticize so many mundane people. We criticize people who are non-devotees or demons. Along with that, one may also criticize devotees. One may also become offensive, blasphemous. because of uncontrolled tongue. We can ask ourselves, how many times we release some things out of our tongue for which we regret later? Why did I say such a thing? Why did I speak such a thing? I wish I didn't say it. But sometimes it is too late. You know, as it is said, the bond that is released from a bow and the words released from a tongue can never be taken back. It is gone now. Cannot be taken back. So, and casual behavior, it is said, if you are casual, you will become a casualty. So, being casual is very dangerous. So, they became actually casualty because of the viprashap. They became vimudhanam by that. The Prabhupada says one should be very careful while dealing with great souls. One should be respectful. And that is one reason Shastras say when great Vaishnavas, they are compared, deity and great Vaishnavas are compared to fire. Fire and deity and Vaishnavas, they have to be dealt with very carefully. The fire is very helpful in the kitchen, but the fire can lead to a fire accident. Similarly, if it is handled carelessly, some people who in the Kartik month, sometimes all over India you will find they put lamps in the houses, you know. So if somebody is not intelligent, sometimes they will lit a lamp on one side and they will turn around and lit another lamp, and the sari will be catching this, you know, here will be touching this fire, and they will have fire accident. They will be crying and running here and there, you know. So carelessness in dealing with fire can result in a terrible accident. So they were careless also in dealing with the sage, and most importantly, it was the plan of the Lord. Why they were careless? So when we are careless, we cannot say, maybe it's Krishna's will. We cannot justify our harsh speech or casual behavior or frivolous blasphemy to be Krishna's will. For Yadus, it was Krishna's will. For the Yadavas, because it was Krishna's plan to take them back. So, because of that, they got a viprashap, and viprashap also surely is Krishna's plan. Because if Krishna didn't empower their tongue to speak like that, the great saintly people, they never give a curse meaninglessly. Like even Narada gave a curse to Nalakur Manigrave, but what was the result of that curse? They were born in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. You see, you know, Indradhumna was given a curse by that Agastya Rishi. The result was, in the next life he got the darshan of Lord Hari and he got the spiritual world. So the viprashap is never done with malice or with any wrong intent or with the desire to give inconvenience to others or bring about some misfortune for others. That's never the goal of shap of a great sage. Similarly, these vipras, brahmanas who gave the curse, and they helplessly gave the curse, their tongues being impelled by the Lord to give such a curse. It was Lord's will. This is a thing should happen for winding up the Yadu dynasty. And they were all, they all finished each other, and they all were taken back to the Lord's abode. Some of them were supposed to go to Lord's abode, went to Lord's abode. Others who were supposed to send to the heaven to become demigods again, they were sent back to heaven. And subsequently, you hear that once Krishna was sitting, Krishna had told Uddhava, Uddhava is sitting here, Krishna told Uddhava that there are going to be a series of pastimes which will cause pain to your heart. So it's better for you to go to Badrika Ashram and live in the association of devotees there and be peaceful. Later on you will get the news about all this. So Krishna had, just before departing this world, Krishna called Uddhava and Maitreya and sat with them and told them many, many instructions, valuable instructions, which we read in the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, directly. And then Uddhava went ahead. And then one day when Lord Krishna was sitting in the forest, you hear about one hunter, Jara. He sends an arrow from behind a bush, thinking of Krishna's lotus feet to be a deer or something. And then when his arrow touches Krishna's feet, then he comes running out of the bush and falling at Krishna's feet. So this pastime is also explained in Mahabharata about the disappearance of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talk something about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. There he says that in literatures like Mahabharata, there are some certain pastimes explained. Like one is the Mahishi Harana Leela. Mahishi Harana is the queens of Dwaraka being stolen by some thieves. You know, when Arjuna was transporting them from one place to another, some infidel coward man came and stole away the queens of Dwaraka, and Arjuna was so powerless that he couldn't defend himself nor could he save those queens. Like that, that is called as the Mahisharan Leela. The another one is the Maushala Leela, which is disappearance of Krishna. In Mahabharata you find this pastime which I told you just now, under Jara sending an arrow. And then Krishna leaves his body. Like that it ends there. It doesn't give any further explanation. There is another one called as the Kesha Leela. In Mahabharata, some people claim that, you know, Krishna and Balaram appeared from a Kesha of Vishnu, Mahavishnu. So Mahaprabhu says this also. And one more he says, and then this one, the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. So these things are explained in Mahabharata only partially, causing confusion, causing illusion, causing bewilderment to the readers. And then he says, these explanations can, they are especially given in Mahabharata in an incomplete manner. They don't describe the full truth, the total truth. They only give incomplete truth. Because when you hear the incomplete truth, it can cause, it can cause confusion, it can cause doubts, it can cause bewilderment. So he says, why Mahabharata has left the half-truth like this and put people to confusion? When devotees read this, they may feel very sorrowful, they may feel sad, and demons, they will get very surcharged with happiness. And then Prabhupada says in one of the lectures, the demons will say, just see your Krishna, how he died. You know, he was hit by the arrow of a hunter Jara and he died. So why this kind of pastimes are given? Mahaprabhu explains that Lord Krishna is most merciful. He wants some literature to be present in the world which will also encourage the demons to continue the demoniac activities. Tanaham Dushatat Kururan Samsaresh Naradama Shipami Adasram Ashubha Asurishu Yeva Yonishu. So there are Kruran, or materialistic asuras, who want to continue their term in the material world and they want to flourish in nefarious activities. For them, the half-truth is presented in Mahabharata. Like this. And by reading this, they will delight in nonsensical activities. Because they will go around telling Vaishnavas and devotees, see, this is the way your Krishna passed away, the Yadus passed away. And this Kesha means he appeared from a Kesha. So, the real explanation is given in many other scriptures. For example, in the Harivamsha, Madhvacharya quotes one example from Harivamsha. He says, who was this hunter Jara? The hunter Jara is Bhrigumuni, who appears in a low-class caste in a forest as a hunter, who is constantly killing animals and eating animal flesh. Why should such a great Brahmana, Bhrigu, who is a pure soul, appear in that kind of hunter's family? That is because of his offense to Lord Vishnu, by kicking the chest of Vishnu. Because of that he was born in that kind of hunter class. And in that hunter class also, he was not a devotee of God. He was a hardcore materialist. Because he was a normal, any other type of hunter, killing animals and eating flesh and living his whole life in a very abominable type of lifestyle. And then when Krishna was about to depart for the world, immediately he remembered Bhrigu, and then he thought, let me give him some opportunity by which in a few moments I will make him a devotee. So what is the best consciousness for becoming a devotee? It is to become repentant. The same principle what Narada applied on Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati was very proud of his prowess. He was telling, I am a sadhu and Narada is a sadhu. He has taken away all my sons and made them brahmacharis, the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. He was so infatuated with pride. If you want to make a proud person a devotee, you have to destroy his pride and make him humble. Just like Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and made Indra humble. Again, he became a proper devotee. Similarly, Narada Muni also smashed the pride of this Daksha Prajapati. How? He heard all the criticism of Daksha. At the end, Narada Muni spoke two words only. Tad Badam, he said. I accept whatever you have said. Thank you. And that made Daksha Prajapati think in his heart that maybe I spoke very harshly. Maybe I spoke foolishly. You know, I really criticized Narada Muni. And then he became very soft-hearted after that. And that was the goal of Narada Muni. In the same manner, Krishna wanted to make this Bhrigu Muni in the form of a hunter to become a devotee of Narayana again. And what did he do? He entered his mind and inspired him to take that arrow, sharpen it into arrow and then send it on Krishna's feet. Being one of the yadus, so Krishna fulfills the rules and regulations so perfectly. And when he hit the arrow, in the Bhagavatam you will find, if any one of us is sitting, somebody sends an arrow into our feet and it has pierced, what will that person do? He will come running to you. First thing he will do is to extract the arrow out of your leg. And then he will put some ointment, he will take it to your doctor and put some stitches or whatever. Is it not true? But it is explained when Hunter Jara came out from the bush running to, extract the arrow from Krishna's lotus feet, the arrow had not pierced at all Krishna's feet. Rather, in the same place where Krishna was sitting, there was Shankar, Chakra, Gada, Padma, all of them appeared as personalities. And all these Nanda, Sunanda, all the Vaikuntha personalities, Vishnu, Tarsha, they were all surrounding Krishna. And that type of darshan he got. And he offered obeisances. And the next verse says, Adadva. The word Adadva means without using his mystical fire to burn the body, which the yogis generally do. What the yogis do? They elevate the Atma through the Kundalini Shakti to the Sahasrarandra. And they break the kapal and they elevate themselves to Siddha Loka or somewhere and they create a mystical fire inside their body and they burn the body. That's what they do, yogis. But it says Adadva, which means Krishna did not do that. Rather, without having burned his body with mystical fire, Krishna elevated himself to the spiritual world. And that verse I quoted in the essence of Bhagavad Gita also. I got it from the Bhagavatam. What is that? So, Bhagavatam gives this kind of complete explanation to this pastime. Not a half explanation as in Mahabharata, which can confuse the people. So naturally, Bhrigu, who was in the rupa of Jara, he became soft-hearted, he became a devotee of the Lord again, and he completed his punishment term as a hunter for having kicked the Lord Vishnu on his chest. So, similarly, the Kesha Leela, what is this Kesha? They say the demons interpret the word Kesha as hair. So they say Krishna appeared from a hair of Vishnu. But what is the meaning of Kesha that is explained by the Acharyas? Kesha is Ka Isha. Ka means Brahma. Isha means Lord. So Krishna, another name is Kesha, is actually, he is the Lord of Brahma. In fact, he is Lord of all the Lords. So, proper extension Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the purports, that the demons are always looking for pulling the leg of Krishna. They want to always find something by which they can become convinced that Krishna is not God and we can go on with our sense gratification business. That is their main goal. And to that effect they always see Shastra. What to speak of these kind of leelas, even Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are misinterpreted by so many envious scholars. Even the straightforward lectures are being interpreted. What to speak of in misinterpreting this type of leela? Why will they not do? There are many people who are doing like that. So, as devotees, when we hear about these pastimes, what should be our attitude with which we should see? Oftentimes, because of our materialistic tendencies, we often expect everything to be like a bed of roses. Everything should be the way that I want it to be. For example, imagine if a Vaikuntha airplane came and all the yadus boarded the plane and Krishna sitting in the front and then they all fly back to Vaikuntha. If such kind of information is there in Bhagavatam, we'll be more happy. Is it not true? Or should they hit one another with iron rods and, you know, kill one another in order to wind up the pastime? So which means this is not a pastime given in the scripture. We want a pastime what I like it to be. Is it not so? So we have our own idea of how things should be. But when we hear this type of pastimes, we have to know, especially the word is used, the will, Isha Ichchaya, Lord's will. Lord's will sometimes is difficult for us to understand. For example, you all know Chitraketu. He has met Narada Muni, he got a Sadguru, he got Mantra Diksha. He was worshipping Sankarshan. And once he was traveling in an airplane along with Vidyadhara women surrounding him, and they were all chanting the holy names. What more he wants? He got the best of happiness in material world, and then he will go back to spiritual world eventually. But then Lord thought in his mind that I want to take back Chitraketu at the earliest. Otherwise this fellow is now performing Sankirtan in the company of Vidyadhara woman, and he is thinking that the material world is a very happy place. There are no problems here. I will just chant, I will take prasad, I will take some rest in this way, this world is a wonderful place. So Krishna wanted to bring him back very quickly. So what he did, he created a situation in his life. What he did, Lord Shiva was sitting and giving a lecture on Vairagya with Parvatiji sitting on his lap. And then he just giggled from the sky. See, one giggling can cause so much problem. Actually, giggling is not a problem, giggling in the wrong place. One giggle of Draupadi caused the Kurukshetra battle. It was noticed by Duryodhana, isn't it? When Duryodhana fell in that Maya Sabha, Draupadi's giggling was heard by him. And then later on that led to envy and so many things, you see. So, laughing at the wrong time is very dangerous. So he just giggled, laughed. But he was not offensive at all. He was just commenting indirectly, just see Lord Shiva, what a great Vairagi he is, that he can keep his wife on his lap and he can deliver a lecture on Vairagya to a group of sages and saints, brahmacharis and sannyasis. And such is his greatness because he is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He has transcended the bodily concept of life. Lord Shiva would have also commented back to Chitraketu, oh Chitraketu, you are commenting about me, what about you? You are also surrounded by the Vidyadhara women and you are chanting with them. What kind of Vairagi are you? So in this way too, it's two Vaishnavas joking with one another. Sometimes you find Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu are joking with one another. So they were two great Vaishnavas joking with each other. But who misunderstood it? Parvatiji. Parvatiji misunderstood. Parvati thought, oh, you are offending my husband. Same day, Lakshmi also got offended when Bhrigu Muni kicked in the chest of Vishnu. So she was, her mind worked very fast. She arrived at a snap decision. See, snap decisions are dangerous. That is why whenever we are in an angry mood, to make decisions is very dangerous. Even in Indian court, you are not supposed to make any will when you are drunk with liquor. Or if you are not in a proper mood, you are not allowed to make a will. Because our will which we make may be tainted by our mood at that time. Sometimes we are mood out or we are mood in, whatever. So, one should not write a will. In the same manner, she made a snap decision on the spot and she cursed him to become a demon. She said, you are offending my husband, I cursed you to become a demon. And then Chitraketu came down in his airplane and he offered obeisances to Shiva and Parvati and said, oh my dear Mata, I just descended, I came down not to justify anything, but I am just honestly telling you, I have no offensive mentality towards your husband at all. I have great respect for Shiva as a Vaishnava, topmost Vaishnava. I respect him, I love him. But I was just joking with him, I had no mal intentions or malicious intent. So when Parvati heard it, she felt very sorry. But then Shiva told her, when Shiva saw Chitraketu's behavior, he said, Narayana para sarve makutascha nabhigyati swargapavarganarakeshu apitulyartha darshana. He said, "Oh Parvati, you may be very beautiful, but Vaishnavas are more beautiful than you also." Now, why? Just see how, in what spirit they are accepting that curse. There is a verse in the first canto which says, Shatta, Chitta. There is a verse which says, if you insult the word, what is the beginning of the verse? What is it? Tiraskrita, Vipraludda. Chitta. It says, if you do Tiraskar of a Vaishnava, you neglect him, you don't give him respect. Or you insult a Vaishnava, or you slap a Vaishnava and beat him, or you kill him, it says Hata also. Still a Vaishnava will never take any insult. It is that. It is a very beautiful verse. So, Shiva glorified Chitraketu and told Parvati, you see, you made a very quick wrong decision, and he cursed him. But he not only is Niraparadi, but he is willing to accept your curse. This is the meaning of a Vaishnava, he said. And then, subsequently, Chitraketu became Vritrasa. But he was a Vaishnava demon. Very rare, no? Just like Prahlad. He is born in demoniac family, but a Vaishnava. Vibhishan, born in a demoniac family, but a Vaishnava. Vritrasura were externally also looking like Asura. Actually, Prahlad and Vibhishan, they were looking like proper Vaishnavas. But this fellow, Vritrasura, was looking like an Asura, demon. But he was a Vaishnava. And the reason Prabhupada gives in the purports, Lord Krishna simply wanted to accelerate Chitraketu's returning back home, back to Godhead. So Lord arranged for this incident to happen. When we heard it first time, some 2-3 of us were discussing, Krishna, we don't mind spending little extra time in the material world. Don't accelerate it and make us like Vritrasura. Then we went and asked Maharaj, Maharaj, it's frightening to be Krishna's devotee. Because Krishna is, meddling with his devotee's life like this, how insulting and how abominable it is for one to have an asuric body. Is there anyone here who wants to have a big teeth and horns like this? The asura, isn't it? And you have spent many lifetimes being a Vaishnava. And now also you may be a Vaishnava, but the world may not understand you. Will anybody be like that? So we asked him that, we don't want to be one like Vritrasura. And Maharaj is telling, no, don't think it is such an easy thing to get a body like this. Krishna will only do this with his very intimate devotees. Because Lord and the devotees, they are mutually attached to one another. And they play such pastimes with one another for various purposes. Because Vritrasura in the body of Asura was speaking such high class Bhagavad Dharma. He spoke in that body. And pure devotees, whatever Krishna wants them to play roles, they are willing to play that role. See, Bhishma Pitama is fighting on the side of Kauravas for Krishna's pleasure. Like that. And also, just as the devotees are willing to play a role which may be very, very badly insulted by the general people of this world. Like even Bhishma is criticized today also by many people. But he fought on the side of Kauravas for what purpose? To please Krishna, to increase the vigorous pleasure of Krishna. Similarly, Vritrasura also. And it's not that the Lord makes his devotees dance according to his tune, like a dictator, and he delights in doing so. The Lord also dances according to his devotees' tune. How? Like you find, Krishna is lifting the chariot wheel. And running towards Bhishma. And by doing so, Krishna becomes insulted by many people of this world for having broken the vow of not lifting any weapon. And why did Krishna do? To please his devotee, Bhishma. And also to please his devotee, Arjuna, to show him how much I love you. So Lord is not a moralist. Lord is not so concerned about proving how wonderful moralist am I. He is more concerned about pleasing his devotees. So, in this way, to prove the greatness of his devotee, the Lord is ready to subordinate himself to his devotees also. So, the Lord subordinating himself to devotees, and devotees subordinating themselves to Lord is a well-known concept. But while doing the subordination, here are some examples which say, that they both are even willing to be misunderstood by the people of the world. They don't care if ultimately it is for the pleasure of the opposite person, that is Lord or the devotee. They are willing to do that. So, in the same manner, like we may say, Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee, but he is taking a snake and putting it around the neck of Swami Krishna. Now many people, they don't go ahead in Bhagavatam only, even the first canto. How can a pure devotee put a snake around the neck of Swami Krishna? This is, no, I cannot appreciate this book. You may stop reading further, yeah? The only answer is, it is Isha Ichaya. It is by the Lord's divine will. Why Lord wanted Parikshit to put the snake around Swami Krishna's neck? Why? Because he wanted Bhagavatam to be spoken. Now you may say, Prabhuji, Lord wants Bhagavatam to be spoken and I have to become a victim. So he will use me to do some mistake through me and then the world will benefit and I will be all the time, my name will be ruined. Those who ask the question like this, they have not become confidential servants of the Lord. They have not become intimate associates of the Lord. Lord will only do this with those who are very intimate devotees. Like for example, those who are not very intimate devotees, disciples of Vaishnava, they are treated with politeness and respect. Like a guru teacher, guru deals with certain disciples in a very respectful, polite manner. What does that mean? That means the distance is more. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was treating Sanatan. You are like spiritual master of the whole world, he said. And Sanatan said, my dear Lord, you know, you are treating Jagadananda so intimately. You know this past time, I'll briefly tell you. Jagadananda and Sanatan Goswami were discussing with one another. And Sanatan told Jagadananda Pandit that my body is full of sores, you know, the boils, which are all oozing out. And Lord Chaitanya comes and embraces me with so much love. And all this liquid pus from my body touches his body, golden body, you know, I feel so uneasy. And Jagadananda said, then where are you staying here? You leave Puri and you go to Vrindavan. Then Sanatana said, oh, you are asking me to leave the association of Mahaprabhu and go to Vrindavan? Okay, if you say so, I will do it. And then later on, Sanatana Goswami was packing up his luggage and Mahaprabhu came and asked, where are you going? He said, Jagadananda Pandit has given me a suggestion that I can go to Vrindavan. I don't want to hurt you, seeing you embracing me every time. And Mahaprabhu became angry. He said, who is this foolish Jagga? He said, Jagadananda. Who is he to give you advice? You are like the spiritual master of the whole world. And then when Sanatana heard it, he said, my dear Lord, you are feeding me the new fruit of reverential relationship. Whereas you are feeding Jagadananda Pandit the nectarian, you know, whatever, like amrit of chastisement. So this pastime shows, Mahaprabhu became very shy after hearing this. So this pastime shows that Guru may very politely, respectfully deal with the disciple with whom he doesn't have, he doesn't feel he is very intimate. But if somebody is intimate, the Guru will chastise. A devotee like Mahaprabhu is chastising Jagadananda. Similarly, Lord also, with different devotees, he deals differently. With some, he cannot do this kind of pastimes, intimate pastimes of what he did with Bhishma Pitamaha, what he did with Parikshit, what he did with Vritrasura and all that. Because many are not ready for it. Many people may not be ready for it. This occurs the platform of Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumama Darshanam Narmahatam Karotuva Yatakata Va Vidadhatu Lampato Atraninatastu Sayevana Parayam. My dear Krishna, you know, if you want, you may embrace me, or if you like, you may trample upon me, like trampling upon a straw in the street, and you can make me broken hearted by neglecting me. Whatever you wish, you may do, because you are my unconditional Lord. You are my worshipable Lord unconditionally. And I am willing for anything. You may embrace me with love, or you may neglect me and ignore me. This is devotee. Devotee doesn't say, my dear Lord, this is what I want from you. I request you to fulfill these demands. I am your devotee. No. No conditions. attached, no strings attached. So with such devotees, sometimes Krishna may deal with them in inconceivable ways. And as soon as we know something is difficult for us to comprehend, we should put it in the inconceivable box and keep it until we come across some senior Vaishnavas who can help us get a clarification for that. Like you see, Yashoda Maya, she loves Krishna very much. She's embracing him, kissing him, feeding him milk. This baby, you know, she is constantly holding the Supreme Brahman in her hands, Krishna. His body is like boundless bliss. She is feeling so much joy. But suddenly one day, Krishna opened his mouth and showed the whole Brahmanda. When she saw that, she saw the time factor, the three motor material nature, the Akash, the Panchamahabhut, the 24 material elements, and all the planets revolving in orbits, the sun and moon and stars and everything. And there was also Vrindavan inside, and there was also Yashoda inside, and there was Krishna also inside. Everything. So when she saw all that, she thought it is beyond my ability to understand this. Immediately she offered obeisances. Because that sight was inconceivable for her. So whenever we find something inconceivable, what we should do? Just offer obeisances and surrender. And you can say, this is beyond me to understand. It is certainly true, but it is beyond my ability to understand. Maybe somebody with a deeper realization can give explanation to this. Or maybe some other explanation may be available elsewhere, which I am not aware. Like this Hunter Jara explanation I was telling in Mahabharata. Harivamsa explains the full detail. Madhvacharya takes from there and he comments. He says, so when you get a complete picture, you feel more peaceful and satisfied. But when you get half the picture, it is disturbing to mind. And it arouses doubts. And last second I tell Sanatana Goswami, he is taking from the Puranas explanations on Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is not only explained in Brahma Samhita, it is also explained in many other Puranas. Mahaprabhu is quoting many, many verses in the Sanatana Shiksha towards the end. And then he says there that this kind of Maushala Leela Kesha Leela, or this another one, he says Mahisha Leela also. You know, the Mahisha Leela is when Krishna departs the spiritual world, there are many queens of Dwaraka who were once taken by Arjuna to be transported to another place. But at that time, suddenly some infidel coward men came and they stole these queens and escaped, and Arjuna could not defeat them. Again, you go to another Purana. I don't remember which Purana. Garuda Purana or one of the Puranas explains. Skanda Purana or one of the Puranas explains a story where there were many apsaras from heaven. One day, they saw this Ashtavakra Muni passing by. Ashtavakra Muni has, you know, twists in his body in eight places. So they were laughing at him. They giggled and laughed. And the Rishi turned behind and said, oh, you all are ridiculing me? And he gave them a curse. That he said, you will all be stolen away, kidnapped by thieves, away from your husband, and you will suffer in separation. He gave a curse. So they all lamented, and immediately they fell at his feet and they rendered service to him and pleased him. And then he said, okay, because you have pleased me now, I cannot take back the curse, but I'll give you another curse which will make you happy. He said, you will all become queens of Krishna. And Krishna himself will come in the disguise of thieves as covered men. And he will come and loot all of you and take you back home, back to God. Like that he gave up. So that is why when Arjuna was going, taking all the queens, they were stolen, and those who stole them, they were also Krishna only, expansions of Krishna, expanded in many forms. So, when you see all the Puranas in a bird's eye view or a total perspective, you will get the full understanding. But some inferior literatures like Mahabharata, they may only give a small part of it and create more confusion. And Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatan, why such lower literatures leave the pastime there? Why they don't give a complete picture? He gives a reason. The demons also should have some arguments for them to flourish in their demoniac activities. Because Krishna is ultimately Matta Smriti Jnana Apohanamcha. He gives forgetfulness to those who want forgetfulness. He gives Tamoguna, Rajaguna, Sattaguna according to the need of people. So Mahaprabhu says that these are illusory tricks of the Supreme Lord to keep the demons in their demoniac position, to continue their demoniac activities, because they will use these evidences to argue against devotees and continue their nefarious activities. They'll go on and on with it. But those who are sincere devotees, they will get the references of all the different Puranas and they will see a complete picture, and Krishna will enlighten them in such a way, because they are in Sattva-guna. In Sattva-guna only we can get a broader picture. In Rajaguna, Tamaguna, we have a very narrow-minded picture of everything. In this way, we can go beyond illusion, go beyond confusion. But still, one most important point is, the scriptures are full of many contradictions, which can be very easily resolved by taking shelter of an acharya. Why did Lord Ram hide behind a bush and kill Vali? Why he did not come in the front and kill? Those people who are moralists, they will never become devotees. They will get stuck up in this pastime. Later on, Lord Ram comes out and he tells Vali also the reasons, and then Vali is completely convinced when Lord Ram speaks to him. So many pastimes like this can cause confusion in people's minds when they read them, hear them. So the degree we are having asuric pravritti, to that degree our confusion degree will be high. The degree we have daivi prakriti, to that degree we will think somehow this pastime is beyond my head to understand, but if Krishna wishes, he may send a devotee who will give me the right explanation. But ultimately there is nothing wrong about the Lord or bad about the Lord. He is supreme, and whatever he does is perfect and complete. And I should not expect things to happen the way that I want them to happen. So I have an appointment at 9:45. I have to go today, so I am ending the class early. So you all are saved from a longer class today. Srila Prabhupada ki, Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much. Thank you.